Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building a subsign workflow at Ableton Live 12, but with an automation-first mindset. And that matters a lot in drum and bass, because the low end is not just there to fill space. It's there to lock with the drums, carry the weight, and still leave room for the snare to crack through. The big idea is simple. We're going to separate the bass into two jobs. One lane will be the pure sub, the part that gives you the foundation. The other lane will be the movement layer, the part that gives you texture, edge, and energy above the sub region. Then we'll automate the movement layer, so the phrase evolves without wrecking the mono compatibility or the punch. And that is the key. In D&B, the sub should feel like part of the drum groove, not like a separate bass toy. If you get that relationship right, the whole drop feels bigger, tighter, and more intentional. So start with the drums first. Load a basic D&B pattern at around 170 to 174 BPM. Put the snare on 2 and 4. Add the kick placements. Build an 8-bar loop. Before you write any bass notes, listen to the drum pocket and understand where the bass should answer, where it should support, and where it should get out of the way. What to listen for here is pretty simple. Does the bass leave enough space for the snare crack? And does the sub land with the kick, or slightly after it? Depending on the groove, that tiny timing choice can completely change the feel. Treat the sub like a timing reference, not just a tone. Now create a separate MIDI track for the sub sign. Use operator or analog, and keep it almost painfully plain. One sign oscillator, no stereo whitening, no fancy movement, no detuning tricks, just a clean fundamental. Fast attack, short release, and no unnecessary tail. In other words, make it boring in the right way. Why this works in D&B is because the sub is the floor of the record. It has to be stable enough that everything else can move around it. If the sub starts getting clever, the whole low end gets blurry. Club systems do not reward blurry low end. They punish it. Keep the MIDI simple too. Root notes, fifths, octaves, maybe the occasional chromatic passing note if the rhythm needs it. Don't overplay it. At D&B tempos, too many sub notes can turn into a smear very quickly. Now write the rhythm from the drums, not from the scale. That's a huge mindset shift. If the kick hits on beat 1, let the sub support it. If there's a space before the snare, maybe that's where a short note can create tension. If the groove needs more weight, let the sub sit under the drum gap instead of filling every hole. A good starting shape is to keep the first two bars restrained, then add a little syncopation in bars 3 and 4. Then open it up slightly or shift the register in bars 5 and 6, and use bars 7 and 8 as a turnaround. That gives the phrase a real sense of movement. What to listen for now is whether the bass feels lazy or nervous. If it feels late and heavy, shorten some notes instead of adding more notes. If it feels too frantic and thin, lengthen the main note and simplify the rhythm. This is one of those moments where less is often more powerful. Here's a useful choice to make early on. Do you want longer roller-style notes, or shorter syncopated notes? Longer notes give you pressure, hypnosis, and a deeper rolling feel. Shorter notes give you bounce, tension, and a more articulated neuro-adjacent groove. Both are valid. Pick the one that matches the drums and the vibe you want. Once the sub is working, add the movement layer above it. This could be another synth patch, a resampled bass tone, or a simple stock device chain in Ableton. Wave editable or operator into auto filter, then saturator, then maybe EQ8. The important thing is that this layer does not own the subregion. Its job is character, not foundation. High pass the movement layer somewhere around 80 to 140 Hz, depending on the sound. Add some saturation, but not so much that it turns into fizzy low-mid noise. Use the filter to create motion in the character range, often somewhere in the 200 Hz to 2 kHz zone. That's where the bass can feel alive without stepping on the sign. What to listen for here is whether the upper layer is helping the sub or fighting it. If the kick loses shape, the movement layer is probably too heavy in the low end. If the whole drop gets cloudy, the layers are overlapping too much. Remember, this is layering, not duplication. Now comes the really important part, automation-first thinking. Don't just write a bass line and then sprinkle automation on top like an afterthought. Decide which few parameters are actually going to create the phrase. Usually that means filter cutoff, saturation drive or output, and the volume of the movement layer. Maybe note length too, if you're printing or editing MIDI tightly. Instead of moving everything all the time, draw a few clear arcs. Let the filter open slightly into the end of a 2-bar or 4-bar phrase. Push the drive a bit harder into a fill. Pull the movement layer down right before a snare so the return hits harder. Keep the sub much steadier than the top layer. Why this works in D&B is because the ear loves contrast. If the sub is repeating with authority and the upper layer is changing in a controlled way, the groove feels intelligent. It feels designed. It feels like our record, not a loop. A simple example could be this. Bars 1 and 2 are tighter and darker. Bar 3 opens the filter a little. Bar 4 gets a small drive lift. Then bar 5 resets the tone a bit so the listener feels the phrase cycle. That kind of movement is enough to make the bass line breathe without turning the low end into chaos. Now use EQ8 to keep the separation clean. High pass the movement layer so it does not double the fundamentals. If it feels muddy, dip a little low mid. If it gets harsh, be careful around the upper mids. Keep the actual sub lane as untouched as possible unless something is genuinely wrong. And keep the sub mono. Use utility if you need to. Width at zero, or at least fully mono compatible. Wide sub lows are one of those things that can sound big in headphones and fall apart in a club. The center has to stay solid. What to listen for in mono is whether the bass still feels loud and stable. If the whole low end collapses into a tiny whisper, then your weight is coming from stereo information, and that will not survive real-world playback. The goal is a bass line that still works when the room gets involved. Now play everything together with a full drama loop. This is where the truth shows up. Don't judge the sub by itself for too long. A sub sign that sounds too simple in solo is often exactly right in context. Listen for the kick transient. Listen for the snare. Listen for whether the bass phrase leaves breathing room for the groove. And listen for whether the bass makes the drums feel larger, not just louder. That distinction matters a lot. If the kick gets blurred, shorten the sub note around that hit or carve a little low mid from the movement layer. If the snare feels masked, reduce the bass sustain before the snare or create a small pocket around the snare's body in the upper bass layer. You can use light sidechain if needed, but don't rely on it to solve a bad arrangement. In darker DNB, too much pumping can make the low end feel sloppy. If the movement layer is sounding good, consider printing it to audio. That is a powerful workflow move in Ableton Live 12. Once it's audio, you can slice it, trim it, reverse tiny sections, remove tails before snares, and reshape the phrase like an editor. A printed bass movement layer often feels more intentional, because you can now treat it like part of the drum arrangement. This is especially useful for second drop energy. The first 8 bars can establish the idea. The second 8 bars can sharpen it, simplify it, or flip the emphasis. Maybe you remove one note. Maybe you open the filter a little more. Maybe you add a tighter octave accent. Just don't make the second drop louder for the sake of it. Make it different. A really strong DNB phrase usually evolves across 8 or 16 bars. The bass should feel like it's progressing with the track. Bars 1 to 4 introduce the motif. Bars 5 to 8 open up or tighten the rhythm. Then bars 9 to 16 can go one of two ways, either deeper and more minimal, or more aggressive and more open. That gives the drop a real internal arc. And here's a very useful coaching habit. Do a three-pass check. First, solo the sub and make sure the notes are stable. Then play sub plus drums and make sure the groove locks. Then play the full stack and make sure the contrast is still there. If it only passes the solo test, it is not done yet. Also, don't be afraid to edit rhythm density instead of sound design if the phrase starts feeling overworked. In DNB, it is often faster to remove one note or shorten one tail than to keep piling on more automation. Sometimes the strongest move is negative space. A small reminder here, protect the snare, always. In most club-focused drum and bass, the snare is the anchor. If your bass automation makes the snare feel small, then the bass is trying to do too much. Before you finish, do a brutal reality check. Drop the monitoring level. If the bass still reads clearly when it's quieter, that means the note choices and the automation are doing the work, not just raw volume. That's what you want. A real DNB low end should survive at low level and still feel locked in. So let's wrap this up. The workflow today is to build a clean mono sub. Give it a simple but intentional rhythm that follows the drums, add a separate movement layer above it, and then use automation to make the phrase evolve. Keep the sub boring in the right way. Let the movement layer carry the danger. Use filter, saturation, and level changes with purpose. And always check the result against the kick and snare, because that's where the truth is. If the groove is clear, the low end is focused, and the phrase evolves without smearing the drums, then you've got a proper DNB bass system. Now go try the 8-bar practice loop. Keep it stock Ableton only, keep the sub mono, use no more than 3 automation lanes, and make one deliberate choice between long roller notes or shorter, syncopated notes. If you want the homework challenge, take it to 16 bars, commit one movement section to audio, and make the second phrase feel like a real evolution, not just a louder repeat. That's the move. Build it clean, Automate with intention and let the drums stay in charge.